gather for worship. Setup is a little different. Obviously, we're going to be watching a video in a little bit about one of our offerings, but we'll hear more about that in a little bit. But it's good to have you here today. I extend a welcome to those who are visiting today. I want to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshments and fellowship in the kitchen, which is right next door to the parlor. Checking announcements this week, there are not a lot. I want to call your attention to the calendar, which is printed on the back page of the bulletin. Just calling your attention to that. We have a couple of board meetings, one this week and one next Sunday. Also, the flowers here on the pedestal are from the funeral yesterday for David R. Tolstra, David and Barbara Tolstra's son, who passed away, and the funeral is held here. And the family has encourages you and invites you and urges you to take a flower home with you after the service. And there are a few left in a vase in the kitchen, too. To please take a flower home if you'd enjoy that, that otherwise they're just going to be thrown out. So please, you know, enjoy that. As I did mention, we'll be watching a video for the America for Christ offering, and that is the insert that's in the bulletin today. Talk a little bit more about it, and we'll be watching a video and hearing more about that a little later in the service. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 476 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading words from the Apostle Paul to the church at Colossae, which is also applicable to us at the First Baptist Church of Malden. Let us read responsibly from God's holy word. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, not on earthly things.
For your life is now hidden with Christ in God.
Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and put on the new self,
which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Christ is all, and he is in all.
Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience.
Bear with each other, and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another.
Forgive as the Lord forgave you.
Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace.
And be thankful.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom.
And as you sing sounds, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God.
Whatever you do, whether in word or deed,
do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Our opening hymn is Since Jesus Came Into My Heart, number 420. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 3 only. Those who are able are invited to stand to sing together.
Into
worship you sincerely, follow you carefully, and grow in grace and holiness. For again, we want to be able to claim that Jesus is in our heart. May we be bold in our faith and daring in Christian service to the end, that your name be honored on earth, even as it is in heaven. We ask this in Jesus' name. And now pray as you taught, saying aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. Amen. Or by neighborhood ministries, but also the thing that we're going to see today is that local churches can apply for grants as well for some of this funding. But ways of, so yeah, if you want to move stuff as I talk, then you can do that. It's not too distracting. So this is one example of a church assessing a need in a community. And after watching the video this week, I was thinking, maybe, you know, I'd like to challenge you, not necessarily to do diapers, but is there a need in the community that we could meet as a congregation? We're involved in feeding, we're involved in helping homeless and housing. So there are issues that we are already helping with. A couple years ago, we felt a need for the feeding ministry, and we added fresh fruit that we provide to supplement the meal so that they can either eat the food there or they can take it home with them. And we felt that it was nutritious and it was, you know, something that we could add to it. Is there something, you know, that we need to be doing that we could help in ministry and meeting a need that isn't being met or supplement a need that's not adequately being met? And that's sort of my challenge for us during this America for Christ campaign. Not only to raise money for the offering, not only to be praying for our homeland missionaries, but also to be thinking about if there's some way that we can be involved. Not that we necessarily get a grant from the America for Christ offering, I'm not looking for the money necessarily, but is there something that we as a congregation could be involved in? Not just spending money, but physically being and tangibly being involved in. So that's my challenge for us. So if you have any ideas, mission board members, if you can raise your hands, Marilyn, Irene, Sugantha, Jose, and Eleanor are members. Anybody else that I missed? Sue Aldridge as well, temporarily. As you know, they are mission board members, and so if you would like to speak to one of them or me about any ideas you have in the next couple weeks, not that we have to get it going in the next, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, but something to be looking at in the coming months or year. Something, if there's something in the community that we need to be addressing. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we thank you that for the congregation in Nebraska that they saw a need and they were able to respond to that. Lord, we know that there are needs in our community as well. And we pray, oh Lord, that our hearts and minds might be open to your leading, to your spirit, that we might discover something that we might be able to be involved in as well, that we can supplement what we are already doing to spread the gospel. Lord, we thank you for those who are serving and have received gifts through the America for Christ offering. We pray that we may be generous in our gifts, that we may remember those who are serving and have received gifts from them in our prayers. We ask this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. So So teachers and students may go to their class at this time. We come to a time of sharing our celebrations and our concerns with one another, and we want to keep Delphine Haldane. I heard that Delphine was scheduled to come home from rehab this past week, and I didn't get to find out if she was able to do that, but obviously was doing better with the hope of being able to come home soon. So we want to keep Delphine in prayer. We do want to keep the Tolstrup family in prayer, as you know, that we had a funeral yesterday for their son David, and just continue to keep them in prayer as the family was, you know, together from all over the country this weekend, and certainly missing their oldest son and oldest brother, and want to keep the family in prayer today. Do you have any requests for prayer today, either celebrations or concerns? Joe?
Where's my brother David, who recently they found a mass in his lung. They did a biopsy, and he's waiting on pathology right now.
Okay, so you want to keep your brother David in prayer. Betty?
Please keep Phyllis in prayer.
Okay, keep Phyllis in prayer.
She's still caked it out.
Yeah. Yep. So, doing okay at home, but just, you know, not wanting to get out.
She misses it, though.
Yep.
And she would like some phone calls and visitors.
Yep, okay. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up something that's been mentioned here or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity of coming together to worship you, to spend these moments in prayer. For some of us, we're unburdening ourselves and opening ourselves up, perhaps sharing something with you that is just so private that we don't feel we can share it with anybody else. For others, Lord, we maybe have so much joy in our hearts that it's just tumbling out of us. We just want to share that with you. Lord, we know that you are a God of our mountaintop experiences as well as our deepest valleys. We thank you that you're always there. And perhaps the greatest message that we've ever heard is that Jesus loves us, loves each one of us. Even though we make mistakes, even though we are sinners, Jesus loves us, and Jesus died for us. Lord, in this Lenten season, we are seeking to draw closer to Jesus, trying to examine ourselves and to see if there are some things that we need to let go of or other things that we need to take on that help us to be a closer follower of Jesus. Help us in these coming weeks, Lord, in this Lenten season. We yearn for the day of Easter, but we know that there's work to be done before that. We just pray for your presence in our journey. Lord, we lift up those who are ill today and injured and pray for healing in their lives according to your will. We pray for those who are homebound and not able to get out. And just pray, Lord, that they may feel your Spirit's presence with them. They may feel our prayers uplifting them. Lord, we just, you know, just lift them up today. Lord, we pray for those who are in mourning today because of the death of a loved one. Pray for comfort and peace to be with them as well. Lord, we pray for our nation as many states go to vote this week on primaries, and just pray for wisdom for those who will be going to the polls, that wise decisions may be made in selecting who will be the next candidates for president. Lord, we pray for our other legislative branches and our judicial system that They may make wise decisions in the jobs that they have, the responsibilities that they have. Lord, we just, you know, do pray for our nation, that we seem to see so much negativity and so much violence going on, so much lack of human regard. Lord, remind us and help us to demonstrate love to others. Help us to bite our tongues when we would want to be negative. Help us to be, you know, encouraging of others. We lift all of these things up to you now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We worship many different ways, and we continue our worship as we present our tithes and our gifts as the ushers.
I love to tell the story of us in days of old. Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his glory. I love to tell the story because
this in his name. Amen. I'd like you to turn and greet those who are standing near you. Our next hymn, I Surrender All, number 486, will be singing verses 1 through 4 only.
Trust him.
be seated. May Upperman, as our lay leader today, and lead reading the scripture.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The scripture today is Luke 14, verses 25 through 33. Now great multitudes accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and take counsel whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an embassy and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, whoever of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." These are Jesus' words. May God bless them.
Thank you, May. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these hard sayings or difficult words from Jesus, we pray, Lord, that the words not only apply to the original hearers of the words or the original readers of the text, but they also apply to us today who strive to be disciples of Christ. Lord, we pray in these moments that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a word from you that will help us in our discipleship, especially during this Lenten season as we yearn to draw closer to Jesus. We ask this in his name. Amen. Have you ever dreamt or imagined what it will be like when it's your turn to enter heaven? One of my favorite stories is about the man who is greeted at the pearly gates by Saint Peter. Before letting the man in, Peter asks, "What's the password?" Stunned, but eager, the man guesses, "John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." "Good try," Peter says, "but that's not it." "Okay," the man guesses again. "How about John 11:25 and 26? Jesus said, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die.'" "Good try," Peter said again, "but wrong." After several more unsuccessful attempts, the man finally throws up his arms and blurts out in frustration, "I give up." And Peter says, "Bingo! That's it! The gate's open, come on in." "All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give." We just sang these words. "I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all." In a culture of instant gratification, where status is determined by achievement, success, and possessions, it's frequently difficult for us to say, "I surrender," with deep sincerity. We ask, can Jesus really be asking each of us to surrender all of ourselves to him? There must be something we can hold on to. But according to the gospel writer Luke, Jesus' teaching and ministry
had captured the imagination of a substantial number of people. A great many were so drawn to Jesus that they had begun to follow him from place to place. So I want us to explore how he responds to these admiring crowds. By society's norms and practices, it may seem rather surprising. Jesus turns to his adoring fans and followers, and without sugarcoating his words, outlines what is expected of those who would continue the journey with him. He states what is necessary to be a disciple. Paraphrasing this morning's text in its parallel, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, "Whoever loves father and mother, spouse and children, brothers and sisters more than me is not worthy of me and cannot be my disciple." Family relationships were crucial to one's well-being. First century Judaism knew nothing of the individualism taken for granted in 21st century America. It was not the goal of children to grow up and leave home. One was defined by one's family. One's place in society was determined largely by one's family. Jesus demands that the disciple must turn his or her back on family relationships threatened all that provided a person a sense of place and identity in society. Jesus offers people in the crowd a most radical choice: Jesus or family. To be a disciple, one must surrender one's claim to one's family of origin or marriage and submit oneself to Jesus and to the new order that he is creating. Though family does not play the same role in modern urban society, these words from Jesus still challenge us. He still asks us if we are willing to set aside all human relationships to follow him. The call to discipleship can mean radical and painful decisions. If that were not enough, Jesus goes on and says, "If you aren't willing to give up life itself and carry your cross and follow me, then you cannot be my disciple." Jesus moves behind the social relationships to the most basic relationship, the one a person has with himself or herself. To be a follower of Jesus means to surrender one's claim to one's own life. The Apostle Paul put it this way: "You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your life." Like the call to subordinate family and social relationships, Jesus reminds his hearers that absolute subordination to one's own life to him is a necessity for discipleship. Now, Jesus is not counseling self-hatred, but is advocating a life of absolute obedience to the will of God. Jesus' way of the cross serves as the example of what he means. Unless a person walks the way of the cross, that person cannot be a disciple. In a parallel passage to this morning's scripture text, Matthew quotes Jesus as saying, "Whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me." Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The Apostle Paul described it this way: For if we have been united with him in a resurrection like his, we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Losing life to find it. Jesus realizes that after hearing all of this, the people in the crowd need to evaluate for themselves the personal cost of following him. He approaches this question indirectly. He does not stop and say, "Having heard all this, are you sure you want to be my disciple?" Nor does he confront his hearers with, "Discipleship is costly. Be sure of what you're going into and know what you think." The parables of the builder and the king seem to appear out of nowhere to interrupt the flow of Jesus' admonitions, but their meaning is unmistakable. To paraphrase the words said in many weddings, this relationship should not be entered into lightly or unadvisedly, but seriously and in the awesome awareness of God. So one does not enter into a relationship with Jesus without mature self-evaluation and self-examination. A person must consider the absolute claim of God on his or her life and how that will shape their life and relationships before committing themselves to this way of life. In his newspaper column called Market Report, Bill Barnhart once explained the difference between investors and traders in the stock market. He writes, "A trader in a stock is making decisions minute by minute in the hope of shaving off profits measured in fractions of a dollar. An investor, on the other hand, typically buys or sells a stock based on views about the company and the economy at large. In other words, traders are wheelers and dealers. They pursue short-term profits. Traders may have no confidence whatsoever in the company in which they buy stock, but they buy, anticipating an immediate payoff. By contrast, investors are in it for the long haul. They commit their money to a stock, believing that over a period of years and even decades, the stock will pay strong dividends and steadily grow in value." And that's been challenged some over some of our recessions. But investors often are not flustered by the typical ups and downs of a market because they believe in the quality of the company, its leader, and its product. In the kingdom of God, there are both traders and investors. They come to Christ with very different goals. Traders approach Jesus because they want God to improve their existence in this world. If following Christ means pain or hardship, they sell out. But investors in the kingdom stay true to Christ no matter what happens in this world, knowing that eternal dividends await them. At a later time in Jesus' ministry, Peter, that bold disciple that we often call him, said to Jesus, "Look, we've left our homes and followed you." And Jesus said to Peter and the other disciples, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not get back very much more in this age and in the age to come, eternal life." In this morning's scripture, Jesus' final statement to those who are still with him is startling. The disciples must come to Jesus empty-handed. This verse could aptly be stated, "So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not say farewell to all that you possess." The reference is not only to material things, but also to anything that we claim that we own or we claim control over. The condition for discipleship is to give up any claim of ownership over material goods, relationships, and one's own life. The life of discipleship consists of being totally claimed by God. In Romans, we read these words from Paul, "Now you have been set free from sin, and you are God's slaves. This will make you whole and will lead you to eternal life. If we are to be faithful, God will tolerate no competition for our loyalty. We need to remember the first and second in the series of Ten Commandments. Do not worship any god except me. Do not make idols that look like anything in the sky or on earth or in the ocean under the earth. Do not bow down and worship idols. I am the Lord your God, and I demand all your love. Surrender and commit. This can be difficult for us. But what happens when we leave behind all that is familiar? We often feel unprotected, exposed, maybe even naked. This feeling reminds me of an article I read some time ago about lobsters. From time to time, lobsters have to leave their shells in order to grow. They need the shell to protect them from being torn apart. Yet, when they grow, the old shell must be abandoned. If they did not abandon the shell, that old shell would soon become their prison, and finally their casket. The tricky part for the lobster is that brief period of time between the old shell is discarded and the new one is formed. During that terribly vulnerable period, the transition must be scary to the lobster if the lobster can have emotions. Currents gleefully will cartwheel them from coral to kelp, and hungry schools of fish are ready to make them part of their food chain. For a while at least, the old shell must look pretty good to that lobster after they've shed it. But we are no different from lobsters. To change and to grow, to deepen our faith, we must sometimes shed our shells. A structure, a framework that we've depended on. Discipleship means being so committed to Jesus Christ that when he calls us to follow, we will have to change, risk, grow, and leave our shells behind. By surrendering our old shells, we are offered the opportunity of new life. So Jesus' invitation to surrender is a paradox. Only by saying farewell to all that we possess can we be claimed by the love of God. To the crowds that were drawn to Jesus' teaching and ministry, to those seeking to find the answer to life, Jesus offers an invitation. Surrender all that you have and all that you are to the love and to the will of God. Shed the old shells and come out of your worldly existence with your hands up, surrendering all that you have and all that you are to Christ. And be prepared to accept his forgiveness and eternal life. Let's pray together. I'm going to use a reading entitled The Surrendered Will as our prayer today. Lay it on your altar, O Lord divine. Accept our gift this day for Jesus' sake. We have no jewels to adorn your shrine, no world-famed sacrifice to make. And here we bring within our trembling hands these wills of ours, things that seem small, yet you alone can understand that when we yield you these, we yield you all. Accept them, Lord, we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, number 468.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
path of discipleship is not always easy. Jesus' demands often confuse and disturb our normal ways of doing things. Yet we do not walk the difficult path by ourselves. God walks with us and we walk with each other. May God give us strength for our journey, wisdom for our decisions, and love for our companions this day and always. Amen.
Amen.